Hi, this is Mike McNamara, and you're listening to All Marine Radio on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
Monday morning. I just got up about like 8 minutes ago. Well, really longer than that, but yeah, I overslept. Doesn't happen ever. Actually, it's kind of a good thing. I was happy about it. Sleep often is not my friend. It was today. The street sweeper woke me up. Yeah, we have a street sweeper. It's Orange County, you know. Come on, we have shit like that. Woke me up. Look. Went, oh, 7:48? What's up with that? Anyway, good morning on a Monday. Studio 2 continues its evolution. Yep. Colleen and Catherine helped me yesterday. But got to the point where went out and bought a professional tripod. Yeah, I was actually happy about that. I've been looking at tripods, and they're like $300, $350 to get what I would consider a good tripod. So went over to the camera store on Saturday afternoon after I mowed the lawn and did my chores, and had a guy. There's one on sale for $150. I was like, yes. Yes, awesome. And so anyhow, I got a tripod, and then got to kind of learn. You got to learn to, or at least try to, you set the camera up. In this case, I just use my phone and kind of block the shot. So where's the shot going to be come from and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, do that. And then what's in the picture, what's not in the picture, what should be in the picture. So I have all my I Love Me stuff, right? So, and it's a set, right? So it should change every time I do it. So what I would have in the set for one group might not be in the set for another group. So if you're a member of NROTC, what should be in that set? So we had an interesting discussion about that, and that you don't want it to be too busy. And so all that kind of stuff. So I continue to learn as a video producer now. And so then I had to do, then I did a little work on the three goals and the Ten Commandments. I actually did some wordsmithing on the three goals and Ten Commandments. So I'll finish that up probably today or tomorrow and put that back up. But none of them changed. The verbiage changed a little bit. And so I think improved that a little bit. But did that as I kind of looked at it. That'll probably be one of the prints that's on the wall in the studio, right? The Post-Traumatic Winning logo, the All Marine Radio logo with the dog tags. And says All Marine Radio and then AllMarineRadio.com on it. Should probably be in that thing. And then the three goals and Ten Commandments. Ought to be in there. Beyond that, I'm not sure that a whole lot more. I don't want to make it too busy, right? We'll go into it. And so the bench of knowledge will go into it, this bench I have. And then my Foot Locker will probably be sitting in there. And then the Grinch and my Marconi Award are going to be on top of my Foot Locker because they cover up my social security number because I don't need some little kleptomaniac midshipman stealing my identity, right? So the Grinch and my Marconi Award filling a functional role, vice decorative. So I'm fired up about that. And then decided that the white background probably was not going to be what I wanted. And I have this this roll of paper. It's about 5 feet wide, and so we took the paper, and it's gray paper. It's called Storm Gray Paper, and it's background paper. And you would take this thing, and it's on a big roll, and you buy this apparatus that hangs the roll in the air. So it's kind of like a U-bar, and then you slide the paper on there, and you drop the paper, and the paper becomes the background. So anyway, we took that paper, and we put it on the wall. Yeah, how about that? We put it on the wall, and we'll use that to as the background, which I'm kind of happy with. I've got to figure out a way to cover up the seams in it, but I will do that. You know, so things decorative in the world of video stuff are normally hiding blemishes. So. I'm getting actually good at that. So hiding blemishes with in carpentry, you do it with molding, right? Yeah, somebody was, I remember somebody telling me how much they liked working with wood because it's such a forgiving substance. And they said, well, take molding. I mean, look at cabinets. You think those cabinets in your home are all 90 degrees and all squared up? No, man, there's shims, there's molding, there's all kinds of stuff. And that's the art of cabinetry. Right, anybody can make a box to shove stuff in. Right, what makes it, you know, look great is a craftsman. I was like, whoa, I didn't know that. I just thought they went up. Yeah, no, it doesn't work like that, bozo. All that molding, all that trim, it's there for a reason. Okay, it's covering up shit. the debates are tomorrow night. I don't know that I'll watch them. I honestly stay away from all that stuff, and I don't know. I mean, I think if I was a Biden supporter, I'd be really nervous, man. Him unscripted, unteleprompted, and you know, and the president, right? That's when he's better, honestly. So. Joe Biden out of the basement, and, you know, how will he fare in these debates? So it'll be interesting. I don't know that, I mean, how much will the debate sway anybody? I think Will Cosentini said it best. He said, I mean, how do you not have your mind made up about who you're going to vote for? You know, do you need to see more of either one of them? Both guys have been around forever. So he said, I can't imagine somebody needs more information, more data to make up their mind, but I'm sure they're out there that need more information. So that's in the news. And then I have a series of articles that I was supposed to read over the weekend, but I did not, because I was redoing commandments and doing artwork for the All Marine Radio poster. Hold on, somebody just sent an email. Where did the picture for the dog tags come from? Right before we left Afghanistan, I used to walk by the RCT-1 emblem that was in front of our CP some mornings. And I don't know why, there's two entrances into our combat operations center. And I don't know why I would walk by that one. Huh. Now I'm trying to remember why I did. Anyway, and whenever we would have casualties, a replica of their dog tags would be hung on that emblem. And the 1st Marine Regimental Combat emblem is the emblem of the 1st Marine Division, except there's another one inside of it. So if you understand what the blue diamond is for Marines, it has a one in it, right? Well, 1st Marine Regiment has another one, so 1st Regiment of the 1st Division inside an offset of the original one. 1st Battalion, 1st Marines of the 1st Marine Division has yet another one inside an offset to the left. So you see these cascading ones. But anyway, so it was a wooden emblem on a, I think, 4x4 or 2x4. And so I want to say one of the mornings before we left, a few days before we left, I took a picture. I'd taken pictures. I tried to do it on a monthly basis, but I didn't always remember. Kind of like a time-lapsed image. A couple mornings before we left, I took that picture. And I think there's something artistic about dog tags, in that every one of them is this very, very simple representation of an incredibly complex human being. An incredibly unique human being. So there's a dichotomy in dog tags, and so much the same. Yet that the person that wore those was so unique in and of themselves. And then when you see them together, I mean, the collective sacrifice of those Marines and sailors, their families. And so to me, I don't know, I always find them extremely powerful when I see them. And so that morning I took a final picture. And so when you hear the Steve Winwood song at the end of the program, Back in the High Life, it's it talks about living the high life. And you're going to hear Jack Riley say something, you know, about you've got to live your life in a way that honors and respects those that, you know, have given theirs. So I think that's all the same sentiment, is that, you know, people fortunate enough, you know, to come home, I think should be mindful that we need to live the high life to honor those that we served with that didn't come home. And so, anyway, so that's where that comes from. So, to answer the question, Bob Nielsen sent me an email or some kind of message this morning. Just heard on the news that the Army has a 30% jump in active duty suicide since the pandemic started. I was talking about, and the Army did not release their numbers for 2019. And so, so this is from Time, military suicides. Have increased as much as 20% during the pandemic. This is Lolita Baldor and Robert Burns of the Associated Press. That's where the original story comes from. And you know Burns, he's a big time dude. Military suicides have increased as much as 20% this year compared to the same period in 2019, and some incidents of violent behavior have spiked as service members struggle under COVID-19, war zone deployments. That's not very many people. National disasters and civil unrest. While data is incomplete and the causes of suicide are complex, Army and Air Force officials say they believe the pandemic is adding stress to the already strained force. Memo to them, you think? Army leaders who say they've seen about a 30% jump in active duty suicide so far this year told the Associated Press that they are looking at shortening combat deployments. Such a move would be part of a broader effort to make the well-being of soldiers and their families the Army's top priority, overtaking combat readiness and weapons modernization. How about that? The Army in Iraq and Afghanistan, those guys would go for 13 months. And Marine units would go for seven, I think. And what was interesting about being around Army units that those guys, so they would start going on leave about the six-month mark. And they would kind of, you know, have X amount of their soldiers, you know, gone on leave at any given time. And then that would end, right? They would do it in months 6 through 9 or something like that. And so, or 5 through 9, I don't exactly know, something like that. But there was a noticeable change in their aggressiveness after that period. They had gone home and they had said goodbye a second time. But this time, you know, their families had been watching that video the whole time they were over there. And that second goodbye, they'd come back. And, you know, I didn't know that many soldiers. But we had them. And we had guys that were, we had guys who worked for us when I was in Fallujah in 2006, where I worked closest with them. Those guys were gone for close to 2 years. They have to go do a workup. They have to go do a workup before they left the country. So they were gone for that. Then they deployed. And like I said, they're gone for 13 months. Coming home coming home for, I think, 2 weeks of leave while they're gone. And then they go back. And then these guys got these guys got extended. I think they were in Iraq for a total of 15 or 16 months. Yeah. The E word. It was bad. It was bad. And so anyway, that's interesting, but I would say this, and I was talking to somebody about this issue. I said, you know, what is the COVID thing done? It's increased everybody's isolation. And in fighting suicide, what's one of the big things you fight? You fight two deadly, deadly things, and that is ignorance and isolation. Now, the ignorance thing, post-traumatic winning, can take care of. The isolation thing has to be fought by the person. And you hear, in particular, that's why I said this commercial is really interesting. It's a new VA commercial, right? So this commercial is called Stand By Them.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis. But sometimes, reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, Reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right.
Right? So that's enlisting you to help fight their isolation. Okay. So when they won't help themselves, you call the 800 number, which is kind of an interesting twist to this whole concept. And then here's the other commercial that I really like.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
Years. Years. There's all kinds of little nuances in this commercial that I really like. Right.
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back. And that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
Yeah, don't listen to their lying bullshit. That's what this commercial says.
By us when we were in uniform. So stand by us now.
Like my brother did. And he wouldn't take.
And it's not a question of people don't want to stand by us. We isolate ourselves. We push them away. And what this commercial is saying is, don't accept that.
No for an answer.
Like my wife did when she asked the right questions.
Oh, the question she's been asking for the last 7 years? That right question? Dope.
Like my friend did when she made the call.
Take a stand for those.
So anyway, so it's so you fight isolation. So whether. And your trauma, right? The third commandment is trauma is trauma is trauma, right? So this thing, this COVID thing, for some is traumatic because, you know, and it only exacerbates their isolation. So whether that exacerbation comes from being isolated at Fort Hood in Texas, right, in Okinawa, which are pretty isolated anyway, but for a lot of people, what this has done that aren't in a good place, and they aren't in a good place, and it has nothing to do with the military. As I say, one of the great epiphanies of my experience is the amount of sexual violence and child abuse that exists in the military. And not any of it has to do with the military. It's all in life before you get there. So, the article goes on. Yeah. The Pentagon refused to provide 2020 data or discuss the issue, but Army officials said discussions in Defense Department briefings indicate that there has been up to a 20% jump in overall military suicides this year. The numbers vary by service. The Army spike 30% from 88 last year to 114 this year. These numbers are pretty closely guarded, too, so it's kind of interesting they got them. The Army Guard is up about 10%. Army leaders say they can't directly pin the increase on the virus, but the timing coincides. I can't say scientifically, but what I can say is I can read a chart and a graph, and the numbers have gone up in behavior. Ryan McCarthy, the Secretary of the Army. Wow. What a dumbass. Here you go. My favorite general officer, Charles Brown, Chief of Staff of the Air Force. COVID adds stress. From a suicide perspective, we're on a path to be as bad as last year when the Air Force was up 33%. And it's just not an Air Force problem. This is a national problem because COVID adds some additional stressors, a fear of the unknown for uncertain folks. The active duty Air Force and Reserve had 98 suicides as of September 15th, unchanged from the same period last year. But last year was the worst in the three decades of active duty Air Force suicides. Officials had hoped for a decline early this year. Navy and Marine officials refused to discuss the subject. There you go. There you go. Civilian suicide rates have risen in recent years, but 2020 data isn't available, so it's difficult to compare with the military. James Heist, the Army's director of resilience programs, said virus-related isolation, financial disruptions, remote schooling, and loss of child care are all happening almost overnight and has strained troops and their families. Quote, we know the measures we took to mitigate and prevent the spread of COVID would amplify some of the factors that could lead to suicide, said Hellis, who attended department briefings on suicide data. Army leaders also said troops have been under pressure for nearly two decades of war. Yeah, but most, I mean, if you go, that's overstated in my opinion. If you go into a room of 1,000 Marines and say, who here has been to combat? You will get less than 50 that put their hands up. That's not, I mean, the nation's been at war. Most of the people that went to war and fought, they are out of the military. So anyway. Interesting. And then the article ends with the new vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff said that he sought mental help while leading the U.S. Strategic Command from 2016 to 2019. He didn't reveal details, but he said he saw a psychiatrist, a rare public admission by a senior officer. Quote, I felt like I needed to get some help. I felt like I needed to talk to somebody. He encouraged others to do the same without fear of hurting their careers. You know what? I don't think people believe that, especially senior officers. If you'll notice, in post-traumatic winning, you don't hear too many senior officers. It's all, you know, there's one gunny you hear from. That's Gunny Y. Everybody else is a sergeant and below. Except for Admiral Stockdale, General Mattis, and General Furness. So I would tell you that, you know, most senior officers, senior enlisted guys, are afraid that it will damage their career. So anyway, my thanks to Bob Nielsen for sending me that this morning, especially since I got my ass out of bed late. But again, to me, in my discussion with somebody else, I wish I could remember who it was, in the last 2 weeks, look at the COVID thing as just another traumatic event, right? And also with that trauma comes like increased isolation. So the way you get through traumatic events is you don't let people isolate themselves, and right? And you begin to educate them, and they can do that. But you can see it's not a good thing, right? And so when you have people that are already, imagine, I'll use my friend Tim as an example. Imagine you're Tim. You've been sexually assaulted in your life twice. And you're a junior enlisted Marine. And now you're spending more and more and more time by yourself. You're already in a bad place. You don't understand what's happened to you. You don't understand why it's happened. You can't make sense of it. You can't talk to anybody about it because guys can't talk about sexual assault. And now you're alone more often by yourself. So in that aloneness, how do you spend your time? Do you drink? We all know single most detrimental thing people do is they drink. How do you fill that vacuum? Right, because the law of nature says that vacuum will get filled by something. The best thing you could do is play more video games, for God's sakes. How about that? Who thought I'd ever say that? The worst thing you could do is drink. And depending on which one of those paths you take, probably defines, you know, how deeply you spiral. So you don't talk about it, and now you're isolated more. You know, shocker. So anyhow, good morning to you on this Monday, the last Monday in September. Can you imagine? October coming up. The baseball playoffs start tomorrow. Yeah. College football in full-blown action yesterday. I have some articles the ones I was supposed to read. Expert panel tells lawmakers U.S. needs to do more to counter Chinese Pacific expansion. But I'm looking for General Berger's speech. Hopefully I can find that someplace, and we can listen to it at some point this week. Next one, I saw this in the Seattle Times. Is our cancel culture killing free speech? It won't kill it. It will make us relearn the value of respecting free speech and being vigilant about guarding it. So I need to read that. Next one. This is by a guy named Lance Morrow. Oh, who I like. Lance Morrow, who wrote something about being a reporter that I read last week, Lance, from the Wall Street Journal. An honest conversation about race, ? Is confrontation wise? Much progress has been accomplished under the cover of hypocrisy or civility. It starts like this. People have said for decades that America needs to have an honest conversation about race. Is this what they had in mind? This drama of marches, riots, videos, tear gassing, surging police lines, Trump tweets, Zoom pressers, statue topplings, Facebook screeds. I don't even know what screeds means. Cable television rants, window smashing, shop burning, police defunding, escalating murder rates, and the distant thunder of editorial boards. Veterans in the field of less than ordinary race relations learn that a certain amount of truth suppression is actually helpful, preferable to the honesty of hatred, for example. Much progress has been accomplished under the cover of hypocrisy, or, if you like, civility. Good manners and artful hypocrisy were Booker T. Washington's game, but he was written off as an Uncle Tom long ago. We live now in the regime of culture and the regime and culture of confrontation. Ideology and performance, anger as proof of authenticity. You remember how much trouble Joe Biden got in when he bragged about his ability to get along with segregationists in the 1970s. Mr. Biden was preening thoughtlessly on his skill in the art of the old hypocrisy. Now he's learned his lesson and embraces the left's idea of honesty. No deviation from the party line or from officially approved emotions. How do you judge a moment of history when you're in the thick of it? How can you tell if all of this will be remembered as historical or will be superseded and forgotten by another momentary sensation, another self-important mirage? The current moment feels intensely historic now, but we shall see. Black Lives Matter has ambitions to abolish its old version, to abolish its own version of the Chinese Cultural Revolution. Four olds. Old customs, old culture, old habits, old ideas. And to add a fifth, old statues. Yet this summer the titanic racial theme competes and fuses with other super stories, the pandemic and its economic consequences, the presidential race and America's long-running politico-religious civil war. You know what? I like him. I've never even read his shit until last week. So that's on my list, right? Another editorial. Biden can't duck Trump's court. So, and this kind of discusses the vice president's problem as the Democratic nominee attempting, right? So the art of the Democratic nomination is you're radical and left-leaning to get the nomination. Once you get the nomination, you head back to the center. Joe Biden, this Supreme Court thing, if you notice, he's yet to say, well, if I was elected, I would nominate so-and-so. Because what happens if that's not left-leaning enough to hold the left? What happens if it's not centrist enough to hold the people that are moderates? Anyway, another story, Breonna Taylor case outcome isn't unusual, a review of police shooting shows. Another story, good vaccine progress, bad politics. So yeah, if you've read, and then there's one more from the Wall Street Journal editorial board, justice for Breonna Taylor. Kentucky's attorney general argues for truth over narratives. Again, that guy has, he's been a one-man shit magnet. And it's interesting when a nation that would love to be dominated by the narratives of social media actually is forced to confront facts, evidence, and the truth. I want to wish Judge Amy Coney Barrett all the best. If past performance is any indication of what she and her family are in store for, God help you guys. The forces that fight over things in horrible ways in this country are going to be unleashed on your family. So good luck to you and your family throughout all of this. I don't know. It seems like this stuff unleashes the worst of the worst in our country. So on those notes, good morning to you. The good news about suicide is I got a call last week from a couple of different branches of the military. And so at some point, my friends, at some point, they will see the light. I know that. So good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning. We'll be right back. It's dedicated to all the people that run mental health programs. Good luck. And I think if you think you can go down the same road that you've continued to go down and watch these numbers go up the way they've gone up, you're being silly.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather. Then we'll check some news headlines. Sent me an email. Mac, what's that dude's name? Yeah, that writes with. I've seen him in the Wall Street Journal, and he wrote a piece on journalism last week, which is how I saw his name. Hold on. I buried it in a stack of articles that I have. His name is Lance Morrow. Morrow. Yeah, he's a summa cum laude guy from Harvard. Dad was in the journalism business. And that's how he's made his living. The weather, we go, it's going to go back in the 90s here. It's unbelievable. Currently in Quantico, it is cloudy and 73. Down the coast at Camp Lejeune, it is partly sunny, 79. 29 Palms, sunny and 80. Camp Pendleton, sun and 65. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy, 74. Okinawa, dark cloudy, 75. head down to the southern hemisphere on the north coast of Australia. It is dark, cloudy, 81, and cooler in Oslo, Norway. Partly sunny later in the afternoon, and it is 57 degrees in Norway. Currently, at the home of All Marine Radio, it is fair, whatever the hell that means. That means the sun and clouds are up. And 69, headed for 82 today. What? Yeah, so I scroll down. 82 today, 92 tomorrow. We're pushing October, and it's 92. On Wednesday, 95. Thursday, 89. And Friday, 87. What in the hell is going on? I thought we were done with this. I thought we were done with this. Yeah, evidently not. So, yeah, there you have it. All right, we'll take a break. We'll check news headlines next. Alex Hollings on a Monday will join us after that at the top of the hour. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's service members and veterans are strong, forged out of bravery, sacrifice, and duty. They are diverse, unique, from all corners of the country, and thanks to their common experience, a family for life. But whether they served in lands far away or communities close to home, some of these men and women may face difficult times or even crisis. But sometimes, reaching out for help can be the most challenging and worthwhile mission of all for veterans, service members, reserve, and National Guard. Thankfully, friends, family, and communities are standing by their service members and veterans now more than ever. We're all in this together. When you recognize something isn't right, make the call to the Veterans Crisis Line or Military Crisis Line. During times of crisis, reach out and call. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 or chat online at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Hi, I'm Gary Sinise. Our veterans put everything on the line to protect our freedom. We may never be able to repay them for their sacrifice, but we can show them just how much we appreciate all they've done. You can help by simply sharing your time, lending a warm smile, a supportive hand, or a sympathetic ear to someone who needs it. Everyone can do something to make veterans know just how much we appreciate their service. Please visit www.volunteer.va.gov. What will you do?
We all share a common journey. We wanted to serve our country, stand for something bigger than ourselves, and protect the things we love. Although we were ready to face any mission, help those in need, and make a difference, for some of us, coming home was more of a challenge than we expected. In the service, we had each other's backs. But as veterans, it can sometimes feel like we're all alone, even when surrounded by our loved ones.
If you're a veteran or service member in crisis, or know one who is, call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, to the news we go. All right, to Stars and Stripes. Top story is a story on suicide. As suicides rise, Army brass reassessing outreach. Let's see. Other headlines that you would find interesting. Tours to Truce Village on the border with North Korea may resume soon. So, in case you're headed to Korea anytime soon, Patricia Warner, one of the last female OSS spies, dies at the age of 99. Patricia Warner, don't you know? The OSS, the precursor to the CIA. Quote, I always told her she was the last leaf on the tree, one of her sons said. She was a spy for the Office of Strategic Services, a precursor for the CIA, serving in D.C., London, and Madrid during World War II. Her first husband, a Harvard graduate by the name of Robert Fowler, was killed in the Pacific early in the war. He was an officer in the Navy, credited with torpedoing the second Japanese cruiser of the war. Quote, I can still remember the last time I saw him. It was at the elevator outside our sixth-floor apartment in New York City. I followed him outside, we kissed goodbye, and he was off to the Pacific. He's the last person I see every night. He was a real love affair doomed from the start. I knew he was going into the most dangerous place in the world then. I always hoped he'd get home, but he didn't. It was 1942. And she would have their son alone back home months later. After the war, she married Charles Warner, a college professor and veteran who died in 2008. They had five children. But as a young widow, she did the unexpected. She joined the OSS after the Navy said they didn't take widows. She was 22, quickly found herself serving overseas. I'll never forget the day we landed in Madrid. We touched down right next to enemy planes. They were dark and black with swastikas on them. It was pretty scary, she said. The Boston Herald, in a series of stories written by Joe Dwinnell, chronicled her life. You could probably check that out. The panic during the pandemic, she said recently, is similar to the war due to what there is to know and what you don't know. Last weekend, Patricia squeezed this reporter's hand to thank me one last time for telling her story. The honor was all mine. She told of going undercover as a flamenco dancer in bars in Madrid before D-Day and just letting go and dancing, of attending bullfights in a city to recruit supporters, of being stalked by an enemy spy, and helping a frightened Allied pilot escape back to England. She often spoke of her spy partner, another OSS woman who risked their lives to do their part during the war. This is the end of a historic American era. Charles Pink, head of the OSS Society, said on Sunday after Patricia's death, "These women never sought public acclaim. They were told to keep it all secret." So you can look it up in the Boston Herald. Her name is Patricia Warner. The OSS. Another interesting story in Stars and Stripes. This comes from Stars and Stripes itself. Hunter-killer drones that have been go-to weapons for troops battling insurgents in Iraq and Afghanistan and Africa are being repurposed for maritime operations, according to U.S. military officials. Now, again, this is a long, long, long time coming. Three MQ-9 Reaper drones are supporting the Navy and the Marine Corps during Agile Reaper, an exercise off the California coast that began on September 3rd and wraps up on Tuesday, according to Lieutenant Colonel Brian Davis, commander of the 29th Attack Squadron at Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico. "Our primary focus has been counterinsurgency," Davis said during a telephone interview. "That's no longer the limit to what we do. The drones that carry long-range radar and can provide commanders with full-motion video of the sea below," well, a lot more than the sea, "have been doing close air support. Wah! Search and rescue, maritime interdiction, strike coordination, reconnaissance, surveillance." Holy shit! It's amazing. Yeah, they can carry 3,000 pounds of ordnance. Hello. And first saw combat in Afghanistan in 2009. Reapers have made some high-profile kills. Most notably, Major General Soleimani was struck by an MQ-9 Reaper. Agile Reaper is designed to test the aircraft's ability to rapidly mobilize with minimal logistics and fuel, according to Davis. "We've only scratched the surface of the MQ-9's capability. We are transitioning to an ability to generate combat air power anywhere to include maritime domain. And we're actually quite good at it. Reapers can operate beyond a potential enemy's targeting capabilities," Davis says. Now the question is, where are they flying out of? And why is the Navy and the Marine Corps so late to the party? "We are capable, we are just as capable at sea without changing our weapons in any way." So are they operating in California? Meanwhile, Marines already have drones training for conflict with the rotational force in Darwin. For whatever reason, the Marine Corps has wanted to develop its own and all this other bullshit. And for, you know, a decade, the Marine Corps hasn't had anything like the Reaper. And we burned up our fixed-wing aviation because of it. It's stupid. It's stupid. And I don't know. Again, what I thought was maybe it was operating off, you know, naval shipping. Somehow or other, the Reaper was configured to be launched and trapped off a U.S. Navy warship. Not the case. Couple more stories. Headline, Wall Street Journal. Stocks rally as bets on volatile election season ramp up. The Dow Jones was up about 500 a little bit ago. I'm not sure where it is now. The USNI News, nothing really new to report there. Marine Corps Times has an interesting story. A couple ones. North Carolina Marines warned not to jog at night because of coyote attacks. Marines at Camp Lejeune. Oh, my God. Now, how about this one? All right, now I want everybody to hold on to your seat before I say this, okay? Headline, Marine Corps considers closing South Carolina and San Diego recruit depots to open a new location. I know, relax, breathe, okay? The Marine Corps might close the doors at its iconic Marine Corps recruit depot, Parris Island. And Marine Corps Recruit Depot, San Diego. One plan under consideration would shift Marine Corps boot camp to a third location, specifically built for modern-day training with gender-integrated platoons, according to a report from military.com. Quote, nothing the way we're organized right now lends itself to integrated recruit training, General Berger said at Defense One State of the Marine Corps event. We have to get a place where on both coasts or at a third location or wherever we end up that every recruit, male, female, there's all there, male and female around. I don't understand what he's saying. We are exploring all options to accomplish this integration, while also realizing the vision of the 38th Commandant's planning guidance, said Captain Joe Butterfield, a spokesman for Headquarters Marine Corps. Once the PAOs get involved in it, right, it's all over. All right, a few quick headlines, and then Alex Holling's going to join us today. Number one, a few months after going home, the Theodore Roosevelt is about to deploy again. Yeah. So, good luck to everybody on the Roosevelt. Several sources from within the carrier community tells Navy Times the crew has been told to expect to deploy anywhere from November to January with a restriction of movement period taking place as soon as next month to make sure that everyone is COVID-free when the ship sets out. That's all they know about their deployment. Number two, my brother Austin asked me to go to Syria with him. 4 months later, he was taken. Number three, military suicides up as much as 20% in the COVID era. Number four, Fort Hood commander orders training pause to rebuild soldiers' trust. That's an eyewash event, right? Rebuilding trust is a long-term event, so that guy, whoever or woman, whoever the hell it is, right, trying to do cosmetic things in the short term to make people know that there's a new sheriff in town. We shall see. Fort Hood, for whatever reason, has been a shit show. Murder, suicide, family's very, very unhappy. In an interesting story coming out of the Washington Post, the U.S. tells Iraq it will pull out of the Baghdad embassy unless Iraq reins in attacks on personnel linked to the American presence there. A move that Iraqi officials said caught them off guard. One other story that got my attention. U.S. commandos, whoever that is, use secretive missiles to kill al-Qaeda leaders in Syria. Oh, this is not. This is that one that has blades on it. Yeah, if you ever want to see people go get hyperventilated, look up this weapon. Yeah, it has blades. It's not pretty. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Alex Hollings will join us here on a Monday version of All Marine Radio. So don't touch that dial. I could say it. Alex, always interesting.